You're traveling through another plane of existence, a dimension not only of soaring sight and ship smells, but of the mind. A journey into a pirate's island whose boundaries are that of the GM's imagination. That's a signpost up ahead. Your next stop, the Dead Men Roll No Twilight Zone. This is Patrick Sterling, and joining me are my four what-if friends and your players, Jabert, Rebecca, Seth, and Tyler. How's it going, guys?
I remember
the first time I saw The Twilight Zone thinking, I mean, it was one of the few mind-blowing TV shows I'd ever seen when I first loved it.
Sci-Fi Channel for many years, maybe they still do, did a New Year's special where they just ran in all the episodes like over 24, 48 hours or something. I just destroyed those in high school yeah. and college. Watched every single one.
Never watched it.
There are some great ones, and they are spaced out by about four or five episodes.
I watched
Black Mirror is the same way, right?
Like I watched a great place or a great place to live today. The one with the kid. Yeah, like literally today.
Oh man, with Opie.
Yeah, was that who the kid was?
Yeah, the director.
Ron Howard.
The director? Right? Yeah,
was that Ron Howard?
I think so.
Yeah, but this is the kid who sends people to the cornfield. So creepy. It was
the movie version of that still gives me nightmares.
There's a lot of people like that in Nebraska. They send people to the cornfield.
Yeah, I mean they come back later, but
yeah, they do.
they go out there and they work, and then they come back and
they shuck corn.
Yeah, they shuck corn out there. Yeah, It's still very scary though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Corn maybe, is inherently scary.
Maybe he wasn't the kid in that episode. He was in an episode.
It is.
But what's the episode called again, Jabert?
A Great Place to Live, I think it was.
My most recent Twilight Zone experience was riding the Tower of Terror at Disney World.
Woo!
Yay!
I know about the guy who doesn't like people because they make it so he can't read they distract him and then all the people vanish and then he goes to read and then his glasses fall and they break and he can't read anymore.
It was called It's a Good Life. That's what it was called.
And then I know about the William Shatner with the thing on the wing.
Also a classic episode. Yes, It's a Good Life. And they redid it for the Twilight Zone movie and it was much scarier.
Somebody was commenting on it like in the context of, we can cut this part out if we don't want like political stuff to be on the podcast, but in the context of like the Trump supporters like desperately trying to blame being stuck out in that
the cornfield
Coachella,
it's a good life in the cornfield,
like they were trying to blame it on like anything but Donald Trump clearly just not paying his the bus company
for the second time. This is not the first time this literal thing has happened, and
he does it all the time. He does it to everybody. It's like I don't understand. But anyway, yeah,
somebody was
pointing out how just like it was so creepy the way that people refused to acknowledge and do something about what was happening. We're just like, no, we're just going to go with this.
Bill Mumy played the kid in that episode. It was not Opie. He was in another Twilight Zone episode. Bill Mumy was also in Lost in Space. He was Will Robinson in the movie. Lost in Space was on Babylon 5, I think, as well.
It was the Moops.
Speaking of you said Will Robinson, which made me think of Will, which made me think of Wilson, which made me think of Castaway.
Okay,
I'm with you. I had a very interesting generational moment today when I have a pumpkin sitting in my office, and
oh boy,
my boss came in and saw the pumpkin, and he was like, "Oh, it's like that thing from the Tom Hanks movie," and I was like, "Wilson from Castaway," and he's like, "Yeah," and he's like, "Oh, that's impressive. Yeah, you know that movie," and I'm like.
Has he never seen a pumpkin before?
Oh, he has. I don't know. It just, for whatever reason, he thought it looked like Wilson, the volleyball from the infamous Castaway featuring Tom Hanks.
In fairness, he is from Ceres, you know, one of the asteroids out on the belt between Mars and Jupiter. So
yeah, exactly. Yeah. So
these are all new things to him.
Yeah, it was just that was like very few times in my life as an older person verbally exclaimed how surprised they were because I, a younger person, knew something about a thing that had occurred in their lifetime.
Apparently more than they knew.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And it was just one of those weird things where I'm like, yeah, no, Tom Hanks, pretty popular guy. I know about his movies.
You mean somebody shot JFK?
What? What?
The president?
I think you weren't even born yet when one of your favorite movies came out. Chopping Mall.
Oh, Chopping Mall? Yeah. I don't think. Yeah. I mean, a lot of my
when
favorite
did they come
movies.
Out?
85?
Something.
Yeah, 85, 86, somewhere around in there.
Chopping Mall, 86. Yeah, so this episode.
What are we talking about today?
Yes, this is another in our post podcast lineup.
What if we did the episode?
What kind of content could we have created?
Well, there are a bunch of things that happened in the course of the last 4 years. You know, what if X happened instead of Y? Those kind of things. Most Paizo APs have usually at the end of each book a few paragraphs of like, you know, usually the book has like a boss fight and there is some language in there about, well, what if they fail to beat the boss, or what if the boss escapes, or what if they die, you know, what would happen? So gonna go through some of those this week and, you know, also talk about some other, you know, what if kind of scenarios. A lot of the answers to that question in the AP is like, well, probably four other adventurers would come along and finish the job. Maybe just make new characters, that kind of thing. But
I have a question. Can I ask about a what if scenario?
Yeah.
Or do you just want to go through the list?
No. Please do. I mean, I might be on here, but we can go.
So top of mind for me is what happens if you fail the regatta? Like if you lose the regatta and Alaris isn't there to save you.
So that
okay,
is
okay. We're just dragging Cassius through the mud right out the rip.
That is the end of book three, Tempest Rising. And indeed, is probably one of the largest questions I imagine folks would happen is about that resolution of the Free Captain's Regatta. What if Captain Harrigan had beat you guys? And, you know, that is a real possibility because it is a points based system depending on how you did during the race. And there's a few of those in this campaign. I can read straight from the book. If you'd like, about like what it says under the development section. And I mean, now that we're done, you guys can read the books too, but it says, quote, if the Wormwood crosses the finish line first, the Master of Gales proclaims Captain Harrigan the winner of the regatta. Harrigan's victory is short-lived, however, as less than an hour later, another ship sails out of the eye, limps to the finish, and on board the crew of another ship was rescued from the Pinnacle Atoll. The survivor, Zarina Visk, tells a harrowing tale of how the Wormwood maliciously rammed and sunk her ship, losing all hands besides herself. And it was sheer luck that she was, you know, picked up and she didn't die. And she has solid proof of this ramming. They have a piece of the Wormwood's dragon figurehead that broke off during the attack, which she clung to stay afloat. And with that testimony, the Master of Gales disqualifies Harrigan and declares the second place runner-up the actual winner, which would have been you guys.
What if it wasn't
us? So you're guaranteed
us?
To win? Is that what you're saying? Like, you're guaranteed to come out of the regatta?
I mean, unless you die during the race, right?
What if you come in third place?
That's the other thing. It is set up just like a two horse race at the finish line between.
What if you come in last?
what if you just decide you go the other way?
The Master of Gales is like, these guys, they won.
I think we all know who won here. Where are those guys?
I really hoped that
halfway to Monaco.
I hope that scenario didn't happen because I think it's kind of a cop out.
It's a little lame.
I had already written another scenario that I kind of worked into the plot, which is at the end of book three, I had Barnabas Harrigan come and offer to buy the Island of Empty Eyes off of you guys. something I added in to kind of cement his hatred of your characters, maybe even more, give him a reason to really go after you in books 4 and 5. But I did have a plan also if you had decided to take him up on that, and that would be kind of working for him, you know. And instead, in book 4, you are paid by Harrigan to, like, you know, go through the island and make it ready for him. So that's kind of like an alternate, you know, campaign of now you work for this guy that you hate.
I mean, you knew we weren't going to do that, though, right? I mean, that would be out of character for us.
I mean, it would have been weird, but it's one of those things where it's like, I feel like you can progress.
We've done dumber stuff.
The plot. make it kind of like a double agent thing between Harrigan and Tessa Fairwind, you know, who's actively looking for the spy. And then at some point, obviously, you would find out that Harrigan was working for the Chelish. And it would play out kind of the same way, where you would have to pick a side then and there. Any other questions you want to go into? I can talk about some of the other, you know, what ifs scenarios, but books 1 and 2 have kind of the same, you know, you're going up against the grindy lows at the end of book 1 and taking on Mr. Plug and things at the end of book 1, and book 2 is the same thing with the Sahu Geen trying to get back.
I got one.
Yes.
What happens if you fail to impress the 3 drunken lunatics that they send to evaluate you for the...
Yes. So that's the end of the Isle of Empty Eyes. And that is another points-based system for degrees of success. And Paizo does this a lot to kind of track how well you're doing and like what kind of ending. It's kind of like a, you know, choose your own adventure style thing where... You guys spent a lot of money on renovating the islands, a lot of your own money as well, and then succeeded at a lot of the things. So I did not copy it down, but I can look up all the things that gave you points. But I can tell you that there was 4 categories of success for the end of that book. And you guys earned the highest tier, the Great Success Finale, which earns everyone a seat on the Pirate Council, which I didn't think was necessarily going to be the ending, and you guys obviously didn't know that was a possibility, so you're just trying to get that success in. But less than 0 points, like if somehow you really mess up, it reads, quote, "The pirate lords are astonished with the PC's ineptitude and develop an entirely negative impression of them. Though the PCs retain possession of the Island of Empty Eyes, they don't receive an invitation to join the Pirate Council. If one of the pirate lords took particular offense to the PCs' actions, that character becomes an enemy of the PCs, perhaps even allying with Barnabas Harrigan." So, really goof it up and, like, you know, maybe the werewolf dude
Avamar
Sorenash, sends him into Harrigan's allyship. But 1 to 5 points is a mild success. Secure the bare minimum of goodwill from pirate lords. They give you a provisional seat, but you don't get a vote on the council, so you are invited to the council and, like, you don't get a seat at the table, but you're in
we grant you the rank of
pretty much there are people that I did describe came to the Pirate Council but didn't get a seat at the main table. They're like outliers. So that would have been you if you didn't succeed fully. And then 6 to 14 points, that's 1 to 5. 6 to 14 points is just success. And, you know, that's exactly what it sounds like. You get that single seat on the Pirate Council, and anything
Honto would have been okay with that.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty... You guys really went above and beyond for the great success, and that got you all the seats on the council. So a lot of what ifs in that scenario. What if you messed up? What if you didn't do so good? What if you did really good? And I guess the next what if is book 5, the penultimate adventure, had you guys going up against Barnabas Harrigan. And I did feel when we played this originally, Jabert, that he was the big bad of the campaign. Like, he's the one that you're basically... Mm-hmm. working against secretly or very much in the open as far as book 3 is concerned, book 1 and book 3. And he's a great villain who like I said, when we played Javert, we stopped at the end of book five. And I think you're totally, if you're GMing this, I think you're okay, you know, stopping it there. There's a lot of very fun stuff in book six, which I'm super glad we got to. But it just feels like the AP isn't setting up Kurdak Bonefist to be the ultimate
villain. I felt that way for sure.
Yeah. He's like, yeah, but, you know, a bad pirate, but he's not like antagonistic against you.
Not, right. Because yeah, like at almost at every point, except for when he shook Cassius's hand and tried to kill him, seemingly, you know, he's just like, ah, this isn't my problem. I'm going back to bed. You know, he just,
yeah, he comes off more like lazy, like sort of like, yeah, a, like an undeserving king, you know?
Yeah. Yeah,
yeah, and that's where you get like degrees of evil, you know, or like, you know, he declared you guys, you know, anathema to the crown, you know, villains and things. It's like, okay, that's bad. But Barnabas Harrigan literally was allied with Chelyaxe and was trying to usurp the entire pirate council. So it's just like he's a bit more of a villain. So yeah, we stopped after book five. And yeah, I think at the time, Jabert, I told the players, it's like, this next book is fun, but I don't think it gets better than getting revenge on Barnabas Harrigan. Like, I remember even some of the characters I built in, like, backstory of, like, oh, yeah, Harrigan killed your mom or something like that. So I didn't really have a plan for, you know, what if you failed to stop Harrigan in book five? Like, he chains you up in his basement and then just goes through with his plan to take over with the Chelish Armada. Maybe only B team escapes and they have to like mount a rescue. But yeah, if he had succeeded, if he had beaten you, imagine, or if he had escaped, which was a possibility as well, he combines forces with Dravalia Thrun. They take over the shackles. They sack Port Peril, that kind of thing. I don't really have like a long what if, but that's, I think, what is suggested. Is someone else would have to try and stop him if your characters had died.
Yeah.
Yeah. And speaking of Dravalia, book six, From Hell's Heart, is the next one as well. Like, what if, and what if she had killed you guys is a big thing. And I feel like that would kind of destroy what happens in the latter part of book six, which is taking on the pirate king. I feel like she would have had to have turned into like the major bad guy of the of the campaign.
I think I would have liked that too. Like, it would have been, especially learning when it's revealed, you know, everything she had done in the shackles to really try to, you know, have this vision with the slave trading routes and the Nurgrebor folk. And
yeah,
I would have been fine with that.
There is a final paragraph here at the end of book six. I'll read to you guys and see what you think about it. If the PCs fail to defeat the Hurricane King, Kurdak Bonefist retains his throne and his crown, and he learns his lesson from the aborted coup. He immediately begins a purge of the Pirate Council and allies of the PC on the council, such as Tessa and Aranax and Demion, are replaced with newly minted pirate lords whose loyalty Bonefist can ensure. Yes, men. Whether the PC's supporters are killed or simply stripped of rank and exiled depends on a number of factors, blah, blah, blah. If you guys survived but were defeated, maybe your ship is destroyed or something, it suggests that they might flee to Mediogalti Island, which I think is to the north of the Shackles, and seek support from another nation, kind of thing, to go back and try to take over again. Or maybe the PCs even approach Chelyaxe or another enemy of the Shackles for aid. It's like, what? Perhaps they can once more rally the free captains under their banner to overthrow the Hurricane King, though the task will be much more difficult the second time around, possibly requiring greater amounts of both plunder and infamy to pull off. But the Shackles have plenty of hidden ports and anchorages the PCs can escape to and rebuild their power base. There are always ships and captains willing to swear themselves to those who can lead them to greater power and plunder. One day, when the time is right, one of the PCs could still don the Hurricane Crown and rule the Shackles as a new pirate king. Basically, make a book six if...
Yeah,
make your own book six if you failed the first time. It's like, oh, that's man.
Every GM is like, I suddenly feel very motivated to make sure they don't fail. Right.
Any other what-if scenarios you guys had questions about? Because I have one, I guess, final big one that I wanted to do this special regards to. Any other like kind of crossroads you think could have happened in this campaign?
Yeah, what if you would have just... Oh, go ahead, Rebecca.
Sorry, I was going to say when Alaris was... all of mine are character specific. When Alaris was driving the spider silk through the gullet or whatever it was called, with Rum Tum Tugger or whatever his name was.
That is his name, yep.
I think his name was Growl Tiger. Yeah, but yeah, same. That's one of the other cats. That's the cat that was the... That was the pirate cat.
That's right.
Growl Tiger's on the loose. Dum 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 dum. Sorry.
I'm sorry. What is your question?
Yeah, that's the question.
You got like halfway through.
What happened if we failed? Tugger. Sorry. What if we failed that though? Like, because remember we had to like dodge the rocks and stuff, and it was really dangerous, and we were warned of how dangerous it was. What if we had failed?
Oh, I don't remember that one, but I have the AP open right here, okay. So I can easily go to Dagon's teeth. Is that what it's called? Dagon's tooth?
It was Dagon's.
I think it was
gullet. There was two. There was like the jaw and the gullet or something like that.
Dagon tooth.
Yeah, see, I wasn't Dagon tooth.
Let's see here.
What if Dagon was actually there?
Yeah, what if?
This is part two of book five.
Patrick. Riddle me this.
It's called Islands of the Damned, which is pretty awesome.
The darned.
And the zombie bloated bodies came out of the water, right?
We're cool.
Yes. I think so. If a pilot fails the profession sailor, mind you, this is first edition, check. The ship hits a hidden reef and becomes grounded, dealing 88 points of damage to the ship, preventing it from moving until the tide changes. So you pretty much get stuck there, and when you are stuck there, you are attacked by more of those Brycolocuses, these undead who, I mean, attacked you anyway because you're just hanging out on their island. Yes. But
yeah, we got out of the boat. That's our fault.
Yeah, it says they won't be attacked unless they run aground. In this case, a boarding party of the Brycolocuses clamber up on the deck at some point after... And stage time of the event, so it's as sinister and creepy and tense as possible. Like after night falls or, you know, that kind of thing. So, yeah, doesn't destroy the ship, but I think the ships that you found that were destroyed there in the derelict cave were, the crew were killed first, and then they kind of sailed the ship away. So maybe this place wasn't as dangerous sailing-wise as a lot of people said, but getting grounded would leave you open to undead creatures eating your brains like they do. Tyler, you had a question? Oh, Seth, you had a question?
Just one. What if somebody tried to do a perform dance check to get the zombies to dance with them? What's the DC that you would accept?
I think it would have to be a series. It would have to be like some kind of walk on the moon first, and then like a lean in place.
Right.
Don't move your shoes, but lean forward.
No, I understand.
And then you'd have to...
I'm looking for a DC, though.
I don't know. DC of the level? Nice. A high DC of the level?
Cool.
30-something at that point?
Nice.
But you have to do, like, 3 in a row. And then it's like, all right.
God, remember when we learned that's how lockpicking works? And we were like, this sucks!
Yeah, we stopped lockpicking in both. Oh, and
yeah, we did it like one other time.
We did it like one or two times. Yeah.
We did it once when we were still on the Wormwood to try and get into their cache or whatever, and then we did it the second time back on the Isle of Empty Eyes because we wanted to get into the treasure room, and we were this is the last time we'll ever do it.
Next week's special, we're going to talk about mechanics. We're talking about what if this week. Geez. How dare you? Stop right. Getting ahead.
I'll save it.
Cool. Tyler, did you have another...
Oh, I was just going to say, what if you would have let me die, Patrick? What if you would have just let Cassius die?
Like, I'm pretty sure I did.
Which time?
No, you brought him back every single time, you monster.
Every time he came back.
Well, that'll also go into two mechanics, but...
Would you have literally been like, if you would let Cassius die, would you have gotten to the end? And like everybody else lived, and then Kurdak would have been like, where's my son?
My boy, where's my boy?
What have you done with my boy?
My beautiful boy.
Your death would have been like a real weight.
And then
Alaris
was like, Cassius died, and then like that gives Kurdak Bonefist a power up, and he goes like,
he goes
super daddy and
super daddy.
No, that's a better question. Would Rebecca, would you be willing to take over as captain if Tyler's captain character died? Just fully take over, really take over Tyler's position on the podcast.
Dude. I mean, you got to do what you got to do. I don't think Alaris would be too sad about it.
She'd be like stripping his coat off.
Whoa!
Like, this isn't going to waste.
The look on Tyler's face.
Isn't this the woman that was like, at one episode was like, she really looks up to Cassius as a leader. And now we're at like, steal her coat off his dead body?
Well, one of somebody Reese's. When they're 6 feet well, under.
Well, I say all that, but Cassius would probably be like, I'm proud. Never waste an expensive coat on a dead body.
My final what if that I wanted to talk about, indeed, it doesn't include a big question about Captain Cassius, and that is what if he had voted for Tessa Fairwind to be queen instead of him. And I should mention is something that canonically is what actually had happened in the main Pathfinder world continuity, not the Cosmic Crit / Dead Men Roller Crit world where we play in, but in the Pathfinder world, I think she is still the queen, the Hurricane Queen. But yeah, I hinted in that episode 193 or whatever it was that I had written both endings. 192 I have it written here, and had a whole nother coronation scene in case Cassius spurned the crown and elected to support Tessa, which honestly I was pretty 50-50 about whether, you know, what you would want to pick for your character, Tyler.
So was I.
But yeah, close out this episode. Is that okay if I go through Hurricane Queen Tessa's speech?
I hope she betrays us and jails us all and leaves us to die in a dungeon. Because
she's like, I won't be 10 times worse than
she's like, I'm very sorry, but as the Hurricane Queen, I can't ally myself with a bunch of people who would betray their king.
Just look at what they did.
You killed him? What the heck?
Why would I
chopped off his bone fist? That's dark.
You literally sent him to Avernus? That's,
guys, why would
that's
you do
awful.
That? Oh, no.
Oh, man.
Nor.
Oh, right. So her speech in front of everyone in the Hangman's Square starts off. Thank you, Port Peril. I've sailed to nearly every isle of this great nation in my 10 years as free captain. I've made trips down to Sargeva and north of the Eye. I've seen how the people of the Shackles live, and I know what you need to live freer, better lives. And that's why my first act as queen is to outlaw the practice of press ganging, slaving, and indentured servitude anywhere in the Shackles sailing ships can make port. It's a tool of our most hated enemy, the Chelish Empire, and their navy, and we can't hope to beat them by employing their tactics on the open seas. My next act is to redirect the treasury of Fort Hazard and the Pirate Council to better help our cities. Instead of propping up statues to ourselves, I propose we build sewers and city walls. And instead of feasts, we build temples.
A poop deck at every home.
One grindy low steak in every icebox. I call on the council and the free captains to pay your fair share of tax to the crown, knowing that you're paying for the people of our islands to have safe streets, full bellies, and be able to live their lives. But lastly, I'll turn to the Pirate Council for advice on how to rule these lands. Their advice and candor I appreciate more than they'll ever know. And to that end, she turns to you guys. I want to thank my good friends, along with Cerise Bloodmourne, Delamona Bury, and the crew of the Tidebreaker, who helped me catch the traitorous spy Barnabas Harrigan and helped defend the Shackles against a full-scale Chelish invasion. Mr. Candoso, plenty have spoken for the people of the Shackles, but I've only known a few in my time that spoke for nature itself. You've not impressed just not just the council, but also the Master of Gales, who told me in confidence that there's no one better to represent Drenchport on my council after he retires.
You've not impressed just I. Oh yeah, well, where is he?
Not just I.
I'm gonna juggle or something.
I'm gonna tell him a thing or two.
Captain Alaris Delcarin, the bell ringer. You've made quite a name for yourself since sailing into Port Peril. You've managed to put legends of the Shackles to rest and brought others back to life. Your Uncle Olivier was a rapscallion known in nearly every port from here to Sargeva. And soon I expect so too shall those know your name in such high regard. I hereby bequeath to you Dagon's Jaws and any pirate with gumption to join your fleet and reclaim those southern isles can claim that those isles as yours. Cool. Along with you. So that's book six as Alaris gets to take on Dagon's Jaws.
What the heck?
Or book seven.
I bequeath to you Chernobyl. Have fun with that.
Hey, you've killed most of the undead baddies there. Mr. Honto, you've come from the north and embodied the strength of your people. I've gathered you have bristled under pirates' rules in your time in the Shackles, but you've manifested what it means to be a pirate better than anyone I've known in all my life. You live life by your own rules. You follow in a Ruxy code, and nobody with half a brain would mess with you. You may dislike the moniker, but I'm honored to bestow to you lordship of green blood and a spout on my council as long as I wear the crown. And finally, Admiral Cassius, the shining son of the Shackles, a lost soul who finds friends and family everywhere, each port you set foot in. To those you've helped, we can all say, all we can say is thank you. And to those you've killed, we know that they'll never harm another soul again. Your name right now is being spoken in hushed tones in Shellyax, as they no doubt are striking deals with the devils that they do to drag you to Whalebone Pilk's locker at the bottom of the sea. And I've no doubt you'll keep sailing a league ahead of them, and they'll rue the day that they sight. Set sight on your ship's sails. Boy, howdy, that's hard to say. Set their sights on your ship's sails. Years ago, there were some who derisively called you the Driftwood Pirate behind your back when you started out, but they were all just jealous. You've braved waters that they'd never sail in 100 years, and you've tested your crews against impossible odds, and they've been wiser and stronger and better paid because of that. And I say this with all the drunken love in me heart, Cassius, that you are not the Driftwood Pirate. On these seas, you shall be known as the Driftwood Prince. She embraces Cassius and then gives you a big, juicy kiss. Tyler, give me a mama. Kiss. Even in the what if episode, I'm going to kiss Tyler's hair.
It'll never get old. It'll never
She's
get old.
She's really drunk, too, by the way. So it's like,
oh, it's I deep. Mean, it's in there.
She's cleaning your
You're
going to
be picking
out.
Pieces of her tongue out
Powerful
of your teeth.
Smooch.
Powerful yeah, smooch. Yeah, yeah. Cassius is becoming king one way or the other.
So that's it. That's what I wanted to get through, talk about some of these things. And, you know, we can talk about them a little bit more. In we do have a GM special that we're going to do as well, where you guys can ask me questions. But yeah, so like I said, some of them are kind of suggested in the APs. And for the most part, you know, we structured this podcast in a what if scenario, which is we made B team characters in the case that your main characters died. And that is exactly what it suggests to do.
What if we're not good enough at this game?
Well, if there's a TPK, you know, if like a whole bunch of bad rolls happen back to back to back, you know, obviously there's a lot of scenarios where pirates would be like, okay, you know, knock them out, take them prisoner, lock them in the brig, and then for better or for worse, you're out of the story. But like maybe down the line, someone could rescue you and that kind of thing. But like, I don't know, for example, like at the end of book two, when you guys are like literally underwater fighting the Sahugin, you know,
no one's coming for you.
Yeah, they're not going to kill you and eat you, more than likely. So that's the whole reason we had those B team characters ready to rock, ready to avenge ye.
So what if? Who do you think would have Well, I think if B team had made it all the way instead of A team, I definitely think it would have been Tessa. Would any of you guys wanted to step up and try to take the crown? Any
for B team? King Bartleby.
Let's go. He's like tied to the chair against his will.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, what if a pirate lord dies? Do they get to like give their seat to someone else, or does the king have to reassign that? I'm not sure. I don't think it just goes to like the number two on the ship.
I could see a situation where Oz agrees to do it. Sure.
that'd be cool.
He's captain material. I don't know if Sharga is.
Sharga would be happy to serve whoever happens to be captain. That'd be fine.
Sharga becoming.
I can't imagine Kovic would want to be in a position that puts him behind a desk.
Kovic's whole reason for being out in the shackles was to die in battle.
imagine. Good job, Tyler.
I know. I can't even. I have one character I can't stop from dying, and I have another character who wants to die. Can't die.
Like every time Cassius died, Kovic was like, damn it. Should have been me.
If you guys want to play a campaign where Sharga becomes queen, that's Kingmaker. Queenmaker. But at least in the video game, you can have Marie, the barbarian. It's kind of like a main NPC or PC. But
Patrick, you remember how when we played Kingmaker, we made Oleg's wife be the queen?
Yeah, just literally the first woman with like some charisma that we met. We're like, you. None of the players wanted to do it.
I love it.
It was very a propped up crown, but we're like, we are way too busy adventuring. We need someone else.
Do it.
That's going to do it for this episode, folks. Little what if I wanted to get through, and that is going to do it for us. Like I already intimated, next week's episode, we're going to talk about Pathfinder 2nd Edition mechanics, all the fun, crunchy bits. But until then, Patreon Pirates, Ruby Happens, thank you for listening to these final End of Dead Man Roll Crits episodes. We hope you are enjoying them. And the 4E, thank you for chatting me up.
Thank you, Patrick.
Thank you, Patrick.
Yeah.
Yo-ho. See you later.
Yoo-hoo.
Until next week.
Yar.
Bottle of.
This is Alaris Steals Your Clothes Off Your Dead Body.
Yo ho ho and a bottle of dumb.
Dead men have no clothes.
Dead men have no clothes. Where are they? In Alaris's satchel.
In her backpack.
Get her. Somebody stop.